It sure is a privilege to be here. Thank you for coming today. It's an honor for my son and I to be here. He's my oldest son. The Lord has given us three children. We attend Madison Baptist Church, Pastor Weiss's youngest brother. So it's an honor to be able to be there. And my pastor was very happy to get rid of me for that last Sunday and today. So it's such a blessing to be here. What a privilege it is to be behind this pulpit. You have a wonderful pastor. God has given you a great man. And I knew his dad. And my goodness, do they have so many resemblances. What a privilege and what a blessing. If you have your Bibles, please, this morning, turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. You should have received a handout. If you need a pen, I trust you can borrow one from your neighbor. It's okay to copy and today's lesson, we want to make sure everybody gets the same answers, right? There's no quiz at the end. This is an on-the-job training lesson today. Mark chapter 9, I'd like to read, if I could, beginning in verse 17. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him, and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he saith unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. This morning, the Lord's laid it on my heart to bring the message on fasting and prayer. Now, I can honestly tell you, I don't know if I've heard a whole lot of messages on fasting. It's not something typically that common we like to do. Typically we think fasting is, well, I'm going to go without food. Well, to some extent, yes. But what does the Bible say about fasting? There is wisdom in fasting. And what does the Bible say? It doesn't matter what I say. My opinion's worth nothing. What does God say about prayer and about fasting? This morning, I would like to speak on the topic of prayer and fasting. The purpose of fasting is fasting reveals that we are depending on God. Fasting reveals that we're depending on God. And when you fast for physical reasons, yes, there are some benefits to that. But when you fast for spiritual reasons, there is a battle that you will enter into that if you've never fasted and prayed, I am telling you, it is a battle. It is definitely work. As we look here, this father said, you know, Lord, how come your disciples couldn't heal my son? And you know, Lord, I believe, help me in the areas that I can't believe, but Lord, how come this couldn't happen? And he said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. If you were to fast for physical reasons, there are some reasons you could fast. You might fast to lose weight. You might fast, go without food to shed a few pounds. You might do that for various health reasons. There might be other reasons why you need to fast. Maybe if you've ever had to fast so that tomorrow morning you have to go in and get blood work because they need a fasting blood work to check certain things. Sometimes you have to fast if you're going to have surgery. You don't want anything in your stomach, so if you fast, there's nothing there. You don't want it to come up and go into your lungs. You would aspirate. Now, honestly, for physical reasons, there are some people that are unable to fast. These would be people who would have certain health conditions. As a doctor, there are people that I say, you know what, I don't think, in my medical opinion, I don't think it would be good for you to fast, even for a physical reason and or even for a spiritual reason, when we'll talk about that a little bit later. But there are people that I don't think should fast. I don't think if you are pregnant, I don't think you should fast. I think if you're a nursing mother, I don't think you should fast. I think if you have a demanding career, I think if you have a vocation that you go to that requires you to be astute, to be sharp, to know what you're doing, I think it would be wise for those times that you are very dedicated to your work and your job, that other people's lives depend on your actions, I think it would be wise not to fast. There are different forms of fasting. We're going to talk about this later. Sometimes you could go without food. Sometimes you could go without food and water. I would probably recommend that you would minimize those times with food and water that you fast for. But certainly you can fast for food. Some people have fasted for hours. Some people have fasted for days. Some have fasted for weeks. The reason for fasting in a spiritual realm is that we are telling God that we're serious about some topic. We're serious about some issue. God can do anything. Amen. There is nothing that God can't do. Of course, in my little son, you know, he would say, well, Dad, God can't lie. Well, yes, God can't lie. Well, Dad, can God make a rock so big that even he can't lift it? Quit being so smart. No, you know, there, in the real sense of the word, there's nothing God can't do. And in your life, I want you to really believe that God can do anything. Amen. And when we pray, we're praying, we're asking God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is asking. When you pray, you're asking God for someone, for something. When you pray and fast, that doesn't mean you're more spiritual than the next person. Just because you fast doesn't mean, well, I'm holier than so-and-so because I fast. That's not what this means. When you fast, you're telling God that whatever the topic you're dealing with, maybe it's a wayward son, maybe it's bills that you have to pay, maybe it's your business that's about to go under, maybe it truly is your physical health, maybe it's whatever, you're letting God know that this issue that is so heavy on your heart that you are willing to forego food because you want God to do something that only God can do. Fasting is telling God you're serious about this. Now, God knows your heart. Some of you might be fasting right now. Not because your wife didn't make breakfast or you didn't make breakfast, but you might be fasting for spiritual reasons because there's something so heavy on your heart that even your neighbor doesn't know about it, but God does. And you're just praying and fasting. You're foregoing food because your mind and your heart is set, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. My heart and my mind, Lord, I want to do. God, whatever it is, you tell me. I don't care. Whatever it is, God, I'll show you. There was a time in my life where I said, Lord, you want me to do this? You want me to do that? You want me to go to medical school? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? Do you want me to do this? And I remember I went to a church in Green Bay, Bay City Baptist Church. I was up there. I just happened to be going through. I was going to something else, and I just happened to stop by the church. I thought, I haven't been here. I'll stop by. And I went there, and a man came out to me, and he was the pastor of the church at the time, and he and I just got to talk. And he said, how do you want to go for coffee? Yeah, sure, let's have some coffee. So we sat down. He says, why'd you stop today? And I said, You know, it's funny you ask that because I'm kind of at a crossroads in my life. And this pastor said something I will never forget. He said, don't tell me what your options are. He said, if you're praying to God, here's what he said. Be willing to do what God tells you to do before he gives you the answer. Wow. Oh my, yes. Be willing to do what God wants you to do before he tells you what he wants you to do. Because if you give God options, okay, God, there's option 1, 2, and 3. Which one do you want? Oh, God says, Steve, I want you to do 1. Oh, but God, I was hoping for 3. Don't bargain with God. Just say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. If it's option 1, 2, or 3, or A through Z, you just tell me and I'll do it. Fasting tells God that we're serious about it. You can certainly fast for the wrong reason. But fasting is a heart issue. It's a matter of the heart. Fasting could be abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. The reason is that you overcome the desires of the flesh so that you can get to know God more. And you can have the mind of God, and you can understand what God wants you to do. Fasting is that. In the Old Testament, there was only one day that was actually required to fast. It was the Day of Atonement. We learned that in Leviticus 16. There was one day that God told the people, listen, no food on that day, the Day of Atonement. He wanted them to not be busy about preparing and getting this ready. And oh, did you know, little Johnny have enough to eat? And did Susie get her fill? And you know, this. And they didn't want any of the preparations made for food because God said, I want you to put all that aside. And I want you to remember the Day of Atonement, the day when I atoned for your sin. He said, I want you to fast on that day. I don't want you to think about anything else. I want your hearts and your minds to be focused on the Day of Atonement. It was the holiest day of the year for the Jews. In Yom Kippur, the adults could do no work and they wore white. It signified purity. It signified no stain from the world. Do you know why our wedding dresses are white? Because it demonstrates that she is pure as she comes to the altar. It's a picture. There was only one day that they could do that. If you have your Bibles, please go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be bouncing around a bit. Matthew chapter 6. Notice what it says in verse 16. Every word of God is important. Every word. Not every thought, not every principle, not every parable, not every story. Every word. And I'm going to show you this, why every word is important. Every word. It says, verse 16, moreover, when. It doesn't say if. It doesn't say and possibly. It says when. And moreover, when ye fast. Be ye not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, who's talking? Jesus is talking. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when? Not if, when? When thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Both groups got a reward. Both groups were seen by somebody. The first group wanted to be seen by men, and they got their reward. The second group said, I don't care if men see me. I know one sees me, and he got a reward. Here's your blank. Fasting strengthens prayer. Fasting strengthens prayer. Jesus fasted. Prayer and fasting is not done to impress God. You can't impress God. God's not impressed with us. You're not God's gift to this church. You're not God's gift to Christendom. God doesn't need us. What does the Bible say? He could make the gravel underneath your pavement out there. He could raise them up and make a whole army of new people and Christians if he wanted to. God doesn't need us, but praise God, he wants to use us. Praise the Lord. If you're still living, then that means God has a plan for you. Do you know God's plan for your life? Fasting strengthens prayer. Fasting is a matter of obedience. When it says, when ye fast, you know, sometimes I think we take it for granted that all Christians fast. And when ye fast, John Wesley, he was the father of Methodism, he would not ordain anyone to the Methodist Church unless it was a regular habit on Wednesdays and Fridays at 4 o'clock till when they went to bed that they would fast. And that had to be a regular practice, and he would not ordain anyone unless they had a regular habit of fasting. Now listen, I'm not telling you what to do. The Bible never tells us how to fast, and it never tells us when to fast. I think if it did, we'd become legalistic. Well, it says at sundown, you know, well, we got to start. You're eating. Uh-oh, you didn't do it right. I don't think God tells us that, because I know what we would do. We'd make it into a rule. Fasting is a matter of the heart. Forget the financial benefits. Forget the health benefits. The spiritual benefits are so much better, because fasting strengthens prayer. Have you ever prayed about something? I prayed for 4.5 years to get into medical school. 4.5 years. I prayed a long time, and I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited. I don't know about you, but I don't like to wait. Waiting and waiting and waiting is hard. It's hard to wait. It's hard to wait when you want to have a baby. It's hard to wait when you want your pastor to come home from the hospital. It's hard to wait when your loved one is off at a trip and coming back. It's hard to wait when your son or daughter is overseas fighting for our country. It's hard to wait knowing if your husband's going to come back from the war. It's hard to wait knowing that what's the answer going to be. It's hard to wait. But when you fast, fasting strengthens that prayer. Jesus fasted. You don't fast so that you get some better favor with God, because Jesus did. Jesus set the example. He says, when you fast, when you do that, don't disfigure your faces and come in, you know, woe is me. I didn't do my hair. I don't look right. I didn't, you know, put, you know, makeup on. I didn't get dressed up right. Look at me. Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm fasting. You don't fast so that other people will say, oh, they look pretty poor. Oh, I guess they're fasting today. No, you don't do that. Because if you do that, you want other people to know that you fast, you just got your reward, because they think, oh, yeah, they're a pretty good Christian. Oh, look at that, you know. We don't fast for those reasons. You might be fasting here today. And if you are, praise the Lord. And if you're not, that's fine too. Fasting strengthens prayer. The wrong way to fast is seeking the praise of men. That's hypocritical. Don't be a hypocrite. You know, some people say, well, I'm not going to Stoughton Baptist Church. That church is full of hypocrites. You know what? You're right. That's true. Don't come to my church either, because we're full of hypocrites. God isn't looking for perfect people. He's looking for people that will say, Lord, I've got a problem, and I don't know how to fix it. And Lord, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast. I'm going to go without stuff, because fasting will strengthen that prayer. It will allow you to focus and say, Lord, help me to hear your voice. Do you know in the Old Testament where Elisha ran, remember, there was the big whirlwind, and there was the big fire, and there was the big all that? Do you know you can't miss an earthquake? You can't miss a giant fire? You know, you can't miss that. You can't miss the mountains just tumbling in a landslide. You can't miss that. You know what you can miss? Yeah. The still small voice. Yeah. There's a young girl who's off at Bible college, and she and I text back and forth together, and she's wanting to go into the medical field, and my wife and I are good friends with her family, and she texts me all the time, Dr. Steve, what do I do about this? Dr. Steve, what's good advice? What's this? I said, young lady, you need to know what it is to have that small, still small voice speaking to you.
Praise God.
Because when you get older, your hearing isn't so good. And you got to know what it's like when God speaks. Because you won't miss the earthquake. You won't miss the fire. You could miss the still small voice. Fasting strengthens prayer. When you pray, you share your needs. But you should listen for the answer. You know, too many people are so good at saying, okay, God, got my list. Here we go, God. I'm going to leave it with you. Okay, bye. You know, when you go to God with your list, it's okay to say, Lord, I got a list here. I know you never sleep and you never slumber and you keep Israel. I know that, God, but Lord, I got a whole list of things here. Lord, I'm going to pray about them. And Lord, will you just tell me what you want me to do? It's okay when you pray to be quiet. You don't always have to be talking. Do you know that God hears the silent cries of a soft heart? You don't have to be an orator. You don't have to know Webster's Dictionary. You don't have to have your PhD in English. You know what you need to have? A humble heart. And go to God and say, Lord, I got my list. I got people that need you. I got bills that need to be paid. The list goes on. Lord, I need your help. It's okay to be quiet when you pray. God knows what you're saying. You're not going to impress God with your words. When you pray on Wednesday nights and you gather as a church, don't come to impress the person sitting next to you. You got your reward. Pray knowing that the creator of this world is bending his ear and he's saying, I hear that. Stoughton Baptist Church, boy, they're gathering. I can hear them. Oh, they're praying about this and they're praying about that. And oh. It's the greatest thing to hear children pray. Yeah. It's such a beautiful thing. I've told the story often, but when my children pray, I love to hear it. I think God loves to hear it when we pray. You can pray standing up. You can pray sitting down. I can tell you, I was in a foxhole when I was in the army. And I can tell you, I was praying. There are no atheists in war. Why do we have to get into dire straits before we say, oh no, there's nothing else I can do. I guess I have to start praying now. Fasting strengthens prayer. Take your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Second Samuel chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Verse 16, David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day, David fasted 7 days. On the seventh day, the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child had dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him. He would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his appearance. And changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house. And when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Your blank there is fasting discerns God's will. Fasting discerns God's will. It discerns it. David didn't know. David made a mistake. That mistake resulted in the birth of a child. God said through the prophet Nathan, I will forgive you your sin, but there will be a punishment because of this. And because of your actions, David, that child that is yours, he will die. David fasted. David wanted God to remove what God had chosen to do because he wanted to discern what his will was. David is saying, okay, Lord, are you going to let this child live? Can you change your mind? God, can you change this? Lord, I'm going to pray to you. Fasting discerns God's will. God wants us to burden him with what burdens us. Now, we know the story. We know that this child died. I don't know if you've ever lost a child, but you haven't really lost a child if you know where they are. Maybe you've lost a spouse. You haven't really lost them if you know where they are. David here had a baby. This baby that, yes, he created, it died. And for whatever reason, God chose not to let that baby live. I don't think it was to punish the child. I think it was to teach David a lesson. And David fasted, and he fasted, and he fasted. David was praying for healing. He was asking for God's intervening. This was an individual fast. You can pray about things that are on your heart that nobody else knows about. Your spouse may not know, your kids may not know, your pastor may not even know, but God knows. And when you pray, you're saying, Lord, I'm asking you to do something. I'm asking you to intervene. That's what David did. He's saying, Lord, I'm asking you to heal. God, if you don't, that's up to you. But I'm asking, Lord, that you would heal him. This is an individual fast. Just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. I don't understand why this child didn't live. I don't know. I never know why any child doesn't live. And if you've ever lost a child and you say, Lord, why did this happen? Why did I go through this? Why did this? Why did that? My mother-in-law, she carried a baby 8 months and 2 weeks. She lost that baby. That baby's in heaven. You know, she would tell me, I never knew why. I never knew why I lost that baby. Years later, years, I cannot tell you the number of women that my mother-in-law has been able to minister to because she has had to walk that hard road. Sometimes God will let you go through a challenging circumstance, not just for you, but for you to learn the lesson and for you to be a blessing to somebody else. Sometimes you go through challenging times so that other people can look at your life and say, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Well, if they can trust God through this thing, then I see it's possible. Then I see it can happen. David here is praying for healing. He wanted to discern the mind of God. He wanted to know God's will. Take your Bible to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. These wicked people, they proclaimed a fast. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Here's your blank. Fasting can hold back the judgment of God. Fasting can hold back the judgment of God. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. God said, go. Jonah said, no. God said, okay, fine. You want to do that? You're going to spend 3 nights in the whale inn. So he spends 3 nights in there. The Bible says that Jonah came to himself. The whale spits him up on dry land, and God comes a second time. Aren't you glad God comes a second time? Amen. And God says, Jonah, I want you to go. And Jonah says, okay. He goes to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He goes there because Jonah was afraid that the people of Nineveh would repent. But he didn't want them to repent because Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. Because he didn't like them, it was Jonah's selfish schedule. It was his selfish pride that says, you know what, Lord, I don't really like them. And I know you're good and you're gracious. And if I go to them, you'll probably make them repent. And they'll probably get right. And I don't want that. And his pride got in the way. Don't ever let our pride get in the way of what God wants to do. God doesn't need us. And if we're pride, God will get us out of the way and he'll use somebody else. Jonah goes to Nineveh and he preaches and he proclaims the name of the Lord. And the people say, yeah, Yahweh is God. We proclaim a fast. The king did. And from the youngest to the oldest, this fast even went to the animals. Said, nobody's going to eat. Nobody's going to drink. We're going to cry out to the Lord. And the Bible says that God saw their fast. God saw their heart and he repented of the evil that he was going to do. Fasting can hold back the judgment of God. Letter A, God would rather show mercy than judgment. He'd rather show mercy. When man repents of sin, God repents of judgment. I'm so glad that when we say, Lord, I did wrong, please forgive me, God forgives us. Doesn't mean there aren't consequences. You can drive 95 on that interstate. Go ahead. But there are consequences if you do, if you get caught. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. God will let you do whatever you want to do. He'll let you do whatever you want to do. He won't violate your free will. But you mark my word, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequence. My children, I give them a free will. They're going to do what they're going to do. Listen, there's a consequence, and you don't get to choose the consequence. I do. With God, God says, you know what? I want you to serve me, but you got a choice. You can do whatever you want. But if you do that, there are consequences. When man repents of sin, God repents of judgment. Turn over to Esther chapter 4. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. Right before Job. Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. You know the story of Mordecai and Haman and Esther. Esther was a Jew. And the king said, nope, all the Jews, we're going to wipe them out. And Esther's thinking, man, if I'm the queen and if they figure this out, like I'm going to be gone. Here's where we pick it up in the story. Chapter 4, verse 15. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nights, or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Here's your blank. Fasting for others. You can fast for others. We had the individual fast by David. David was requesting the Lord that he would heal his baby, but God chose not to do that. Now we have an Esther. We would have what we call a corporate fast. Esther says, I want everybody together. We want to seek the Lord. We want God to know that we're serious about this, that our people don't get wiped out. We're going to do that together. Fasting is usually undertaken when we have a deep need. What if come January, someone gets in the White House and says, everyone over the age of 50 has to die? New law. Earth is too populated. Everyone over the age of 50 has to die. Go to the nearest hospital. By lethal injection, you will die. We will take the bodies, take them out to a burn heap somewhere, and we'll dispose of them. If that was your life, don't you think you'd be in danger? Don't you think that your life would say, Lord, my life is more precious than this? Come on, let's everybody get together. We're going down to the church house and we're going to pray. God, we're serious about this. This is our life. Now, we can't really understand that because we're Americans and we're protected and we've had men and women that died for our freedoms. Praise God for that. But Esther didn't have that. But you know what she did have? She had the Lord. When you pray, you're asking God to work on your behalf. And when you fast, you can fast for other people. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Here's your blank. Fasting brings wisdom and guidance. Fasting brings wisdom and guidance. Because what were they doing? Paul and Barnabas were already serving. They were already ministering. They were already active. And so, because they wanted to do the Lord's work, because they were active and they were involved, the Holy Ghost said, as you're praying and fasting, separate those two from me. They were already serving. And so fasting gave the church wisdom and gave the church guidance. There will come a day when that pastor will not be the pastor of this church. Could be soon, could be long time yet. I don't know. God does. You, church, you will need wisdom for the next man that will be behind this pulpit and fill his shoes. You will need wisdom. He will not live forever. I don't say that to scare you. I'm telling you that as a doctor, that there will come a time where his heart will stop and he will not be up here. And you, church, will need wisdom. You will need guidance. God, who do you want here? Who do you want to lead? Who do you want to shepherd? That's what this church did. There was a need somewhere else. And the Holy Ghost said, you know what? You guys are all serving and you're all praying and you're all fasting. And because you're doing that, those are the two I want. So you, church, you're going to need wisdom. You need wisdom for your family. You need wisdom for your job. If those of you that have a position at work and there are people that are under you, if they depend on your responsible nature to make things happen, you need wisdom. You need guidance. Because one wrong decision by you could cost them their life. Probably the greatest gravity of the situation that I have every time I go to work as a doctor is I realize that decisions I make have lasting effects. Yep. Amen. Not just for me. For the people that I take care of. Can I encourage you that when you pray and you fast and pray, ask God for wisdom. God gives it. Yes. There is a limitless supply of wisdom in God's realm. And he says, if you just ask me, I'll give it to you. He gives wisdom and guidance, not just to know what to do, but to know how to do it. That's wisdom. Wisdom is having the mind of God to do what you need to do. That's what wisdom is. So when you don't know what to do, when you need the mind of God, you say, God, can I have wisdom? James tells us. You know who James was? James was the half-brother of our Lord. And James watched Jesus' every move. Don't you think he got jealous? How come Jesus never gets sent to his room? How come Jesus never gets in trouble? How come Jesus, you know, every time Jesus prays, the food multiplies when our eyes open at, you know, dinner time. How does this work, right? Do you ever think about what James thought when he's sitting there and he's right there next to Jesus? Jesus has now died. He's been crucified. James has lived on. And James wrote a book. James is often called the Proverbs of the New Testament. And it says, you know, if any of you lack wisdom, just ask God. Amen. He'll give it to you liberally. Liberally. You know, like in the parade. I don't know if you like parades, but I love parades. And I love it when they throw candy. You know, and they have those big bins, right? I love those little girls
that, you know, they just get big hands and they go, and all the candy goes out there, and my kids, like little chickens, they just go all out there. I loved parades when I was little because I loved to see the big candy bins. Do you know that God's up in heaven and he's saying, I got this big bit of wisdom.
Yes.
Who's going to ask me? Oh, you want wisdom? Here you go. He gives it liberally. And he upbraideth not. You know what that phrase upbraideth not means? It means that if God gave you wisdom last time and you totally blew it, God says, that's okay. I give you more wisdom.
Praise God.
He upbraideth not. He says, now listen. I gave you wisdom last time and you screwed it up. Are you going to do it again this time? God never does that. He says, oh, you want wisdom? That's okay. I got my big bin. I will give it to you. Whew. Oh, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. It's wonderful. And now you have wisdom to make the decision. That's what the church did. The church fasted and they prayed. And the Holy Ghost said, no, separate Barnabas and Saul. They had wisdom and guidance. Turn over to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. It says, Isaiah 58, verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasures, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? This is God talking. So he's telling the people, listen, you fast that way. Is that the fast I chose? That tells me God has a fast. There's a way to fast. God tells us that. There's a way to fast. Is this the fast that I have chosen? The way you're doing it, is that what I wanted? He said, is this such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes upon him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Notice what it says. Notice what fasting will do. All these things. To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou canst, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest him naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy real reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and of speaking vanity. This was a fast that they chose. Number 6, fasting can shatter strongholds. Fasting can shatter strongholds. It says in verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? God is up in heaven. He's saying, people, you got it wrong. Is the way you're doing it, is that the fast that I said? Is that what I wanted? Is that what I chose? He says, no, that's not what I did. The fast that I have chosen is, and then he goes on to explain it. There is a myriad of things. And if you find yourself in one of those categories, can I encourage you to fast? You're not going to make God do something more. You're just letting God know that you're fully depending on him. You're letting God know that you're serious about this. And fasting strengthens prayer. It allows you to shatter strongholds. Turn over to Ezra chapter 8. This is our last passage and we'll be done. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. Beginning in verse 21. Ezra 8, verse 21. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasures that are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law, the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. Turn over, if you would, to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. The king said, we got to do this right away. We need to do this right away. It says, verse 10, for Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. The fasting that's going on here, it was for a reason. It was go down to verse 25. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of God and the law of king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be done unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment. There is fasting to discern direction for the home. Fasting to discern direction for the home. Oh, I was in chapter 7, wasn't I? Oh my goodness. Chapter 8, verse 21. 8:21. That's right. 8:21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Fasting to discern direction for the home. This fasting was done for a particular reason. Your blanks there, you can fast for ourselves. It says in verse 21, before our God to seek of him a right way for us. We're going to fast. We're going to tell God we're serious about this. We're going to fast for ourselves. The next one, for our little ones. Did you know that you can fast and pray for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and the children 15 generations down the line, should God tarry? You can pray for them. You may not see your wayward son. Your wayward daughter might not be in your purview and you might not be able to see them. They can outrun your eyesight, but they can never outrun your prayers. Amen. If you have someone that you've been praying for a long, 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 long time, can I encourage you to keep praying? Fast. Let the Lord know that you're serious about that. You can pray for yourselves. You can pray for your children. And then it says at the end of verse 21, it says, I proclaim a fast, you know, to seek a right way for us, for our little ones, and for all our substance. Did you know that you can pray for your possessions that God's given you? That's what they did. Lord, what you've given us, Lord, we're going to pray for that. The things that God has blessed you with, pray for that. You should pray for your health. You should pray for this church. The actual physical building. Lord, please, if a snowstorm comes, don't blow it over. Lord, if rain come, a tornado come, Lord, protect our church. You can pray for that. You can pray to protect your house. You can pray to protect your car. You can pray for that. You can pray for the actual physical things. I was really rebuked. We built a house 5-6 years ago, and I bought some tools. And I bought more tools and more tools and more tools, right? I have tools, right? And I was using it one day, and somebody asked me if they could borrow something. I don't know about you, but sometimes that got under my skin. Man, they borrow a tool. I know how they are with their tools. My tool's not going to come back, all that stuff. And you know what? The Lord rebuked me. He said, Steve, whose tools are those? They're not your tools. God gave me a job so that I could work, so that I could have money, so that I could go to the store, and I could buy tools for me to use. Can't I share? And this is honest truth. I said, Lord, these are your tools. Whoever wants to use them, whoever needs it, you know what, Lord? Let them use it. And this is honest truth. I mean this with all my heart. That's more of a blessing to me for somebody to not have to go out and buy a certain thing. They can come to my house and use it. If it comes back and it's not in the same shape, whatever, that's okay. They got their job done. Praise the Lord. Because to me, a relationship with somebody else is more important than a tool. You know what? God can replace the tools. He can do that. That's nothing for him. He's got a lifetime warranty on any battery, right? But when you pray for your things, you say, Lord, you know what you've given me? Help me to be a good steward of that. Help me to be wise. Help me to be good with that. The Bible never tells us how to fast. It never tells us when to fast. But I want to give you just maybe a few principles that you could use if you're looking to fast. Fast unto the Lord and not unto men. It is a private matter. If it's a private matter, can I encourage you to let it be a private fast? The hard part of fasting is not abstaining from food. The hard part about fasting is the spiritual attacks that will come your way when you commit to being completely dedicated to asking God for wisdom. That's where the attacks will come. It's not avoiding food. That's not the hard part. Prayerfully choose your fast. Here's some ways you can fast. You can go with no food and you can have water. No food, but having water. I would encourage you that when you start to fast, do it for skip breakfast or skip lunch. Skip one meal at a time and use that time if you have a lunch break instead of going to your car, going to the break room, or go somewhere where it's just you and say, Lord, I'm not going to go to my lunchbox. I'm going to go to my Bible. Lord, because I really got this thing and I need to pray about it. And my kids, Lord, they're about ready to make a big decision. I don't want them to make the wrong one. Lord, I got this bill coming up and I don't know how it's going to get paid. And there's more month at the end of when I have money left. And now my pennies are running out. And Lord, I don't know what to do. And you just name it. So instead of, eating, maybe take that time to do that. No food or water. That would be a time. I would encourage that to be short. You don't want to go without water. You need to stay hydrated. You could skip one meal. Typically, probably supper would be the, I don't know what you call supper, but to me, that's the evening meal, right? Different parts of the world. I'm from Iowa, the great state of Iowa, so we call the night meal supper. What's dinner? I don't know. Whatever it is. The evening meal, right? In fasting, you could also forego some sleep. Now, I know none of us get enough sleep, but I can tell you from a doctor's perspective, it's okay to go without sleep if you're fasting and you're seeking the Lord. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, a half hour, a time where you forego sleep and say, Lord, I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm going to pray to you because you're the only one that can fix this. No TV, no electronics. Put your phone aside. Don't be distracted. Choose to not have distractions by you. Don't look at your phone. The world will go on, I promise you. And when you wake up from your little bit, things will still be there. Go without marital relations. If you're married, just choose for that time, that moment, not to be together with your spouse. Choose a time and a day when activities are light. If you're an electrician and you have to climb to the top of the tower and you have to work on stuff, I would encourage you that's not the day to fast. Be dedicated to your task and be faithful. Let the boss know that he or she can count on you. But if there's a time where activities are light, maybe that would be something you could do. Avoid extremism. Well, God, I'm going to fast. I'm not going to eat till next year. Well, I'm not telling you not to do that, but that probably would be kind of extreme. Probably do that. Build up to a fast. If you go without the evening meal, okay, now the next time, maybe have a couple days and eat and get your body back into rhythm, and then maybe go without an evening meal, and then when you wake up the next day, don't eat breakfast. Kind of lengthen it, start out, because when you start to fast, if you go too long, you will get a headache, and you will wonder what to do. Oh, wow, what do I do? Oh, my head hurts, and you can't think right. You have to slowly gather up to it. I cannot tell you how long I've fasted. I will not tell you how long I've fasted before, but I will tell you that in times that I have fasted for extended periods of time, you will go through some interesting feelings within your body. Part of it's, your physical cleansing, but also some of it is just you're going without food and you're just wanting to seek the Lord. When you break a fast, do it lightly. Don't just say, oh, good, I've been fasting for a whole week. Lord, I got it. Okay, let's go to the fast food restaurant and boom, get it all down. That would not be a good choice. If you're going to break a fast, do it very lightly. Start with some fruit. Start with just slowly bringing your blood sugar up and do it very gently. Start with a very soft fast. Again, if you want medical ways how to do that, I'm happy to help you, happy to talk to you about that. Let me encourage you not to tell anyone. I would encourage you to tell your spouse, because if she spent all that time making an evening meal and you come home from work and say, no, I'm not going to eat, she's not going to be happy. So tell her. Maybe she's going to fast with you. Maybe you're fasting for a child together. Maybe you're fasting for a grandchild or your pastor or some need that you have. It's okay to tell your spouse, honey, I'm not going to do that today. Or you don't have to pack me a lunch, or I'm going to, whatever. Like, be cognizant of what's around you. If you're going to go to Christmas and you're gathering, probably may not be the best time to fast. Now, it doesn't mean you can't make some wise food choices, but it also should mean, you know, oh, I'm not going to eat. People are going to go, well, how come Aunt Bertha's not eating today? You know, what's going on? You know, and again, just choose it wisely, but it's not to be seen of men. When we pray, it's so that we let God know that we're serious. I'm going to leave you with this last comment. When my grandfather was still alive and he was in the ICU, he was not doing good. I remember everyone had left. They had gone downstairs, were going to get coffee or something, and they just left. It was just me and Grandpa, and Grandpa was in the bed. And I remember I said, Grandpa, I said, I just want to know for sure. You know for sure you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Do you know for sure? And tears streamed down his eyes. Now, my grandfather was a staunch farmer. I never saw him cry. Two times in my life I saw him cry. The day he was in the ICU and the day his brother died. I never saw my grandfather cry. Never. And he said, through tears in his eyes, I wish I would have done more for Jesus. Now, my grandfather was a hard man. Hard man. My grandfather has since passed on, and he's in heaven. My grandmother's since passed on. And the other day, I came across this quote, and I want to share it with you, and I'll be done. It said, teach your children to pray at a very young age, because God will be around longer than you. Very good. There's coming a day where I will leave this earth, and I will be gone. It doesn't matter what I give my family. It's the example that I set and the Bible I want to live by. And if I can teach my children to pray, you know God can do more for my kids than I can. Your pastor loves you dearly, and I know you love him, but can I tell you, you should pray for him. They need your prayers, because if the devil can get them, he's got the whole church. Don't let that happen. You should make Satan fear what happens at Stoughton Baptist Church. Amen. Make Satan fear what happens here. Because there's coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He could come back today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we are gathered here today. Thank you for these dear people that have been here. God, I just ask and pray that you'll just give wisdom and give guidance. Lord, I just am so thankful for the opportunity to be here. I pray, dear Father, that you'll be with these dear people. Lord, I know there are needs in this congregation. I know there are. I don't know what they are. It's not my business. But, Lord, you know what the needs are. And, Lord, I pray if there's someone here that is wrestling with the fact of whether or not they're not saved, if they don't know if you are their Savior, I pray that you would draw them unto yourself. May it be so, so clear. Lord, what a blessing it is. We know that we're all sinners. We know that you died on that cross for us. You didn't have to, but you loved us so much that you did. Father, I pray for these dear people. I pray now as we have just a short time of invitation, I just pray, Lord, that you would work in hearts and lives in ways that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.